If you could take your Bible and turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. And before we begin, let's bow our heads and come before our Lord and King. Father God, we celebrate and we thank You that today is a happy day. Every day of our life in which we are in You, Christ, we have the joy of our salvation. And You have created us to celebrate that. And God, we long to see everyone around us come in to You, to be with You, so that they are saved, that they can have life and life to the fullness. Lord, come and speak to us today. Share with us who we are. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. Today, we remember back that we've been asking the question, who we are. And we're finding that out, who we are in Christ. And so the reason that we're doing that is to establish our true identity, because many of us in who we are living a lie. Not only that, but we want to know and live that truth. And when we know and live that truth of who we really are, then we are free to be all that God has created us to be. So as we declared those different statements that Anna led us in, let's do that one more time. Repeat after me. Maybe you can turn me down just a little bit. At least I'm feeling pretty loud. I don't know if you guys are feeling pretty, you know, maybe you like that loud effect. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, repeat after me. In Christ, I am a new creation. In Christ, I am a child of God. In Christ, I am accepted. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, you guys are, I think we need to go to the gym first, then show up for church, okay? Get our blood pumping and going. So today we look at Romans chapter 5, and we're just going to read a little bit of 8 here. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? Today we want to declare that I have been justified. Can you say that with me? I have been justified. And we're going to look at what all that means. A basic, simple definition to be justified is that when Jesus looks at you, even though we have sinned, He declares or renders us as righteous. And that Greek word of justified has that root meaning of righteousness. And it goes down as far to be saying that there was some type of court, there was some type of judicial system according to have you obeyed the laws or have you not. And so you stand before the judgment. And when we look at it in the reverse order, Jesus comes and says, now, even though you are guilty, you are seen or rendered or declared by Him as righteous. And that's why today, you know, I tried my best to bring up a little bit of a white sheet. You're saying that's not fully white. Well, we'll wash our clothes a little better. But this is a little bit of a representation, unless someone wants to come up and stand underneath it the full time, about what we are talking about. Jesus looks at us, say that was you underneath there, and declares you as righteous. Now, when we think about the word justified, what comes to your mind? A court. We think of a judge. Okay? We think of a whole lawyer system. If we bring someone up here, Joseph, stand up. We'll put Dan, stand up as the lawyer. David, stand up as the judge. And we'll say that Joseph is the one on trial. what's going to happen. You can just sit down. Thank you, men. When we think of that, what do we think of? What has happened? Someone's guilty of what? A crime. So we're thinking of these images when we're talking about justified. I have been justified. There has been a crime and something has been done wrong. So when we say, I, Kurt Tallman, have been justified, a lot of us or myself will ask, of what? Justified of what? And it's pretty simple, even though the world struggles with this. It's a three-letter word. Sin. I have been justified because I am in Christ of this horrible thing in the world called sin. Now, I would say that the world is a little bit unclear, but God is very clear about sin. Romans 3, 23 and 24 makes it very clear. All have sinned and are justified or need justification through something, through someone. God's very clear about that. Man, on the other hand, I would say is a little bit unclear. Even us as Christians sometimes are asking, what is sin? That was a little sin. Was that really sin? We say things like, you know, in Chinese we say, zui is the concept of sin. Fan zui is to commit a sin. And so a criminal has the same meaning. And so we ask ourselves and we figure it out, a criminal, I'm not in jail. Therefore, I haven't done anything wrong. Or we check it against others, right? Me? Him? I'm not so bad. I'm okay. Scale of 1 to 10? He's probably an 8. I'm only like a 4. We look at concepts like obeying your parents, coveting other things, a lustful look or unforgiveness. And we think, you know, I've done some of these, but it's really not that bad, is it? Not like a criminal who murdered someone. We look at our bad thoughts that pop into our mind. It's not so bad. We get in the area of sin many, many excuses that comes to our mind. It didn't hurt anyone else. It's okay. It's not sin. You know, what I did was in my own private life. It wasn't in public. Therefore, it wasn't sin. It was just for myself. I mean, this is my own life. The standard is according to me. It's relative. It doesn't have anything to do with you. I'll decide what sin is. These are the type of things that go through our head. We see in the news, oh, the poll says that most people are doing this type of activity. Sleeping around. Therefore, if most people are doing it, it must be okay. Therefore, it's not sin, and I can do it. You see these type of thoughts that go through our head? We see these type of excuses that just pop up in our subconscious, move to our conscious, sometimes work out through our hands. And we're confused. What is sin? Let's get clear about what sin is. Okay? Sin takes the form of kind of three concepts. One, you've heard this sometimes, of a sin of commission. It means that you're doing or acting in a way that is against the law of God. And so you're actually doing something to hurt someone. Like you're lying. Did you lie? Yes, I lied. Covet. You doing it. Or even one that we struggle with, Love your neighbor as yourself. The other one is a sin of omission. It means that you should have been doing something, but you didn't do it. James 4:17 says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. A good example in the Bible is in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. It says this parable about the sheep and the goat. Why God uses the description of sheep and goat for us, you know. But He uses that, and He goes on to say about, and I'm going to try to make this as short as possible. He says to those who are doing it correctly, and then He goes on to those who are not doing it correctly. He says, then He will say to those on His left, depart from Me, you who are cursed into eternal fire. For I was hungry, and you gave Me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite Me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe Me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after Me. Then they will answer, Lord, when did we see You hungry, thirsty? When did we see You as a stranger, and needing clothes, or sick and in prison, and we didn't help You? When, Lord? And He will reply, I'll tell you the truth. Whenever you did not do this for one of the least of these, You did not do it for Me. And they will go away, it says, into eternal punishment. It says that it's not that they actually did something against God, it's what they didn't do. And I'm just going to put this out here. A lot of times I drive up from I-26, I get off on the exit for 378, and there's a homeless person standing there. What do I do? Now I know all of you have things going through your mind of why you would or why you wouldn't give it. But let's just think about sin. Sin of commission, sin of omission. The other type of sin that we talk about is just this inner sin, this inner defilement. It's a very nature of man, of who we are. You see this in children from very, very small. You can't believe as I'm rocking my newborn child thinking all good and cuddly at the age of 6 would actually do something of a look. When we tell them, no, don't touch that, they're looking back to check. Is mom and dad looking? Now, they're not checking that out. Because in their heart, they're like, I just want to please mommy and daddy. They're like, I am going against the will of mom and dad. We each, as the Bible says, from Adam and Eve on up, have this inner nature of sin. Paul explains it very well in Romans 7:20 through 21. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Proverbs 26:24 says, a malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. I was at a friend's house, Arthur and Ai-Hua Yin, up in Lexington, Kentucky, and they told me a story about when they were talking to their little boy about sin, and he drew a picture, and he says, I'm a shellfish. And what he was trying to explain was that he was selfish. It's a good way to describe this inner type of state. In all of our nature, when we compare ourselves or we look at another person, we do have a tendency of selfishness. Good way to describe sin, and even though in Hebrew there's 12 different words, basic words to describe sin, and in the Greek and in the New Testament it talks about 8 different words. They talk of one word that best explains it, called missing the mark. It's that there is a standard there of God, and we are aiming for that standard. But the standard is a very high one. The standard is a holy one. The standard is one of perfection. Why? Because that is the very nature of God. Who we are, what we are in our nature is what we will put as the standard. But we are not perfect. Anyone here perfect? We almost got some hands, but they stayed half down. We miss that perfectness. We miss that holiness because of the sin in us. And so we are guilty of this sin. And again, it's not because God has some strange or evil way of, I'm going to make them miss the mark every time so they will be condemned. It's just basically His nature. He cannot go against His nature of the standard that He sets. And so we, having the problem of sin because of our own choices and free will and our heart desires, miss the mark. I'm from a farm. My dad is interested in guns. He has many guns. Some of them, yeah, pretty big. But I took a 22, and I went out and had a scope on it, and I tried to sight in that scope to help my dad out in case he used it. It was pretty far off. So I made a bullseye target, a horizontal, vertical, circle around, so I could tell as I aimed in and tried to hit the mark if it would go left or right, up or down. I walked out 20 paces, put the mark down, put something behind it in case the bullet went somewhere else, and began scoping it in, marking it in. I could not hit the very center. Say, you're a bad shot. Well, maybe. But I moved it out another 20 paces so I could get it even tighter. And I began shooting. And the mark got farther off, but came a little bit closer. I missed the mark. This is an example of what God is sharing about sin. And it's very true that the farther we get away from that target, the farther we get away from the very source of that standard of holiness and perfection, the farther we will miss that mark. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't grade on a curve. He's not fickle. His standard is not about self-serving. He doesn't look at it and ask necessarily every time, did it hurt others? Was it done in private? Was it just a small sin? Oh, you compare yourself to Joe over there, and then we'll decide. Or if everyone's doing it, then it's going to be okay. That's not God's standard. God is very clear about what sin is. Missing the mark in what we've done or what we didn't do. In our very nature or in our thoughts. God is very clear that for each of us, we have sinned. Are we clear? And God is very clear that each person needs to be justified. Now, as we look, there's two ways to be justified. And I believe this is in your outline that was given to you as you came in. Two ways to be justified. And we need to check this there at the bottom. Because the first way is of man, and it doesn't work. But we need to talk about it. Because this is where we're having identity problems. This is where we are still living the old man or in the past. And it is hard for us to shake off. It's interesting that in this word of justification used in Greek, in the Gospels it's used 7 times. 2 is the same type of verse. 3 other times it talks about this very way in which we believe we can be justified. It talks about self-justification. The first one is in Luke 10:29. Luke 10:29, if you want to turn there. And it's about the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is very interesting. And I'm going to try to get through some of these. Hopefully we'll still have time. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. He's an expert in the law. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is like, yeah, that's pretty easy. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And then these very interesting words come up. He wanted to justify himself. He wanted to play the card of self-justification. And so he asked, but who's my neighbor? And in his mind, he believes he has it down. And Jesus goes on to say there was a man who was robbed. He was beaten. He was thrown to the ground. And along came a great Jewish priest. And he went to take... No, he passed on the other side and allowed the man to lay. And then came along a great Jewish Levite. And he went to... No, he passed on the other side. But then came a Samaritan who the Jews weren't really tight with. In fact, they didn't like. And the Samaritan passed. No, he went and helped the man. He did more than that. He took him to a hotel. He got him all fixed up and said, if there's any other expenses, I'll take care of those too. So Jesus asked at the end, who's your neighbor? And the guy, knowing that he was no longer self-justified, did answer, the one, the Samaritan. He didn't say his name, didn't say Samaritan, but the one who had mercy. When we look back at this story, the question is asked, what must I do to gain eternal life? He had the right answer. He wanted to gain for himself, achieve for himself, accomplish by himself, self, 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 that eternal life. He wanted to hit the mark by himself, and he thought he had missed the mark. In fact, you would think an expert in the law would be an expert marksman, correct? But he missed the mark. And that's why Jesus shares this story. Simply said, we cannot justify ourselves. We cannot, through self-justification, meet the standard, hit the mark that God has set. Again, it goes in Luke 18:14, and it talks, Luke 16:15, and it talks about the Pharisees trying to justify themselves. But another great one is in Luke 18:14, when we have the story about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and this is a great one. To some who were confident of their righteousness, and looked down on everyone else, it starts out, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like that tax collector over there. for I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of my income. But then we see a very different picture, for the tax collector stands up. He stands at a great distance. He doesn't even look up to heaven. He beats his chest and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says it very simple. He says, this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified. The first one very much comes with the self-justification card. Look at who I am in me, in myself, in my own works. I fast twice a week, not just once, but two times a week. And I give a tenth of my income. I am in the door. I am safe and secure. I am fully saved. I am fully justified. But the other one is the one who just comes very simply, I'm a sinner. I can't do it on my own. God, I need your help. Have mercy on me. Do we see the difference? You know, and I would say a lot of times we are confused. As Christians, we really struggle with this battle. Should I do it myself or should Jesus do it to justify me? We do it in many ways. How many times I've read my Bible, people declare. How many prayers I've said or how long I pray. The number of times I go to church. A lot of times instead of going to Sunday school and sharing on how to be more like Christ, we share how much I know that more than you. And somehow we believe in all of that, there is something that now we are accepted, we are our identity as God's child, that now we have become this new creation. And most of all, that we are justified. But the opposite is very much true. Brothers and sisters, we can't continue to wear the old clothes, the old identity of self-justification. It's not I am justified, that I am the great I am because of what I've done. That's the identity of the world. That is the lie that comes to us. It's not the truth. And if a lie puts us in bondage, we need to know the truth. Satan has a great trap out there for every one of us. And the question and the trap that lays before us is, did you do enough? When it comes to justification and getting in heaven, did you do enough? And for us who are struggling and saying, no, I didn't do enough, I need to do more, he's very, very happy. Satan loves it. For Jesus is saying, it's not about you, it's about me. You can never do enough. You need to just trust. And from there, we'll take the next step. That is justification. Paul actually has some very strong words to say that those who are still trying to live by their self-righteousness and by their self-justification. It says in Galatians 5:4, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. Brothers and sisters, that we would be separated from Christ for trying to earn salvation on our own, says you have fallen away from grace. How sweet that sound. And now no longer can we hear it. because we've been trying to do it in ourselves. Two ways. The first way doesn't work. Self-justification is from our own power. It doesn't work. But praise God that we have a way that does work. And I connect the two together, Christ's justification. It's of God. It's His plan. And it does work. Galatians 2:16 says, "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." Romans 3 sets out, But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness, this new righteousness from God, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are guilty, but praise the Lord that we are justified freely. By our works? No. It says by His grace, through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. Amen? There's some parts that go with this. There's a payment that's made. What is it? It's Jesus' blood. This isn't some simple, cheap way to come in the sense that I'm guilty and then I'm out. We're not talking about getting some plea of insanity like they do nowadays, or getting some lawyer to take us off. No, this is a responsible way to take care of our sin. So it's time to man up and say, yeah, I have sinned. It's time to say, I'm responsible. But it's also time to say, I can't do it on my own. I need something more. And so not only is there a payment from Jesus, but there's a substitution in which He says, I'll take your place. Because you are not perfect, you are not holy, but I am. So God sent His only begotten Son because He loved the world. And there's a meeting of the perfect holy standard. There's one in Jesus who hit the mark. Is the mark, is the standard. And He's the one that takes our place and goes before us. And it's so it says that the law came through Moses, but through Jesus, came the grace and the truth. Are you living in that grace? And are you living in that truth? Because it's the truth that He says sets you free. For if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed. So no longer should we put on the old identity. No longer should we think of ourselves when we wake up in the morning. What do I need to do to get to that salvation? But to say, I will trust in Jesus, and today we will walk together to accomplish and fulfill what God has called us to. So we come back to the verse we started with, Romans 5:9. And it's the third time we've heard it today. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, we didn't have the power in ourselves, Christ died for the ungodly. For very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. Righteous and good, there might be a little bit of hope, maybe. But it doesn't matter, for God demonstrated His own love for us because we were still sinners. While we were sinners, we are all sinners, He died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? Have been justified. This is something that has been done. So we don't try to then go out and do it. We trust. A new thing, a new identity. We need to put off the old. We need to get out of the hamster wheel, you know? I'm trying more. But say, Jesus, with your Spirit and all that you are, empower me. So now I will go and live in freedom for you. His work, His cross, His blood, His substitution. substitution. He is the one. Our new identity. I have been justified. How about you? Yes, you have also. A great definition of justification is basically God now determines and declares to see you as righteous, as if you have not sinned. The Bible gives a description. Needing a volunteer. Jimmy. Christ comes. You can turn around. And He puts the robe, the white robe of righteousness around us. It covers us all. Sorry to hide you up, Jimmy. So now, when God looks at us, when God looks at Jimmy, He sees Christ. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Thank you, Jimmy. Let's bow our heads. God, I got to confess that a lot of times I've put on that old self. I've lived in my own identity. And I've tried over and over again, God, to feel like I'm accepted, to feel like I'm Your child, to try to achieve in that hamster wheel all that I need to be for You. And God, I want to get out of that hamster wheel. I want to get out of my old self, Lord. And some are really crying out today, Lord, and I ask that You would hear their hearts. God, I also ask that we would not kind of close our ears and close our heart to really what You're trying to do. God, also make us sensitive to those around us to continue, Lord, to love them and to share Your truth with them. God, we declare right now in the silence. We declare in our heart, thank You.